invite Brian Milford, who chaired the delegation to General Conference, to come and bring an update from General Conference.
Thank you, Bishop. Every 4 years, the United Methodist Church gathers at General Conference, calls delegates from around the world. This year, that meeting has happened. It happened in Tampa, Florida, the end of April and the first part of May. I'd like to begin with a brief video glimpse of the 2012 General Conference.
Nearly 1,000 delegates from around the world converged in Tampa, Florida. The rich diversity of the people called Methodists was a visible sign of unity and hope.
If we're going to reclaim the movement status of Methodism, we cannot sit idly by and hope things will get better. We actually have to get up and get moving with Jesus into the world.
Making disciples of Jesus Christ to transform the world wasn't just a theme on a banner. It was the imperative mission that animated delegates and set their agenda. I'm Art McClanahan, Director of Communications for the Iowa Conference of the United Methodist Church. The lay and clergy delegates poured over more than 1,200 legislative petitions. Representing 130 annual conferences, they worshiped, prayed, and discussed the best ways forward for the second decade of the 21st century.
If God can bring to life the crucified Christ, surely God can bring to life a calcified church. Resurrection defines who we are. It's our identity. We are new creatures in Christ, a resurrection people, disciple followers of Jesus, the risen one.
Lady, lady, where are you? Don't get so caught up in legislative actions that you fail to readjust what is unjust as we continue to make disciples of Jesus Christ. As true disciples, we have to watch over one another with love, despite our differences in opinion, in positions, background, race, or whatever.
As part of my transformation, personal transformation, a part of me had to die so that the rest of me could live. A part of me had to die so that the real me could live. Today, as we struggle to transform our lives and to transform our congregations and churches, we must realize that some things are going to have to die. Some things are going to be have to left behind so that we continue to live and thrive. If you are not willing to be transformed by the power and grace of God, how can you hope to transform your local church, much less the world? If you're not willing to participate in the daily disciplines of Bible reading and prayer, how do we hope to be transformed into the very image of God?
Since General Conference met last, every new member has promised to be faithful to the United Methodist Church in his or her prayers, presence, gifts, service, and now the new vow, witness. And each time our local churches have taken in new members, we have reaffirmed our vows, including our promise to witness. So, lay people, there it is, the beauty, reality, and terrifying awesomeness of our role.
Hello, Mabuhay. I am Joy Ivobohol from Cebu, Philippines. Even though we are physically thousands of miles apart, Crin and I are charged rooted, and united disciples of Jesus Christ.
There is power within all of our souls, power to be disciples rooted for change. Jesus was caring, hardworking, humble, and above all, he sacrificed his life for everyone, despite what they looked like or how they thought. He was so deeply rooted that his passion changed the world. Not all of us can part the sea, yet we can all live as spiritual beings in harmony.
I'm sure you can think of several reasons why too many of our churches are almost empty. Here's the point, beautiful people. There is no shortage of people in the world. But there is a shortage of love. So, as people of faith, our potential is great. The possibilities are limitless because God's harvest is plentiful.
Oh, happy day. Hey, happy day. Oh, happy day. Hey, happy day.
How did you get involved with this? How did you begin to raise money for Imagine No Malaria?
Well, Logan had already gotten involved with the cause through his birthday money, and I had heard about it through this, and we're family friends, so we decided to start a lemonade stand.
You started a lemonade stand?
Mm-hmm.
And where did you serve lemonade?
At Hoover Auditorium in Lakeside for the East Ohio Conference.
For my, I think, 7th birthday, instead of getting gifts from all my friends, I had them make donations to me so I could give it to Nothing But Nets and Imagine No Malaria.
Oh, wow. That's great. Thanks.
Walk together, children, don't you get weary. Walk together, children, don't you get weary. Walk together, children, don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting in the promised land.
Each of our delegates was assigned to one of 13 legislative committees. Each petition was acted on in committee and amended, adopted, rejected, or referred.
I served on the Faith and Order Legislative Committee, and the primary petitions that we dealt with had to do with the global nature of the church. We recommended a covenant to the plenary session and also a global book of discipline. Legislative Committee also dealt with the issue of ordination and homosexuality. And that was a more difficult conversation.
Most of the deliberations were about proposed changes in United Methodism's Book of Discipline. Some actions added new items to the Book of Resolutions, expressing the Church's teachings on important issues of public policy and social holiness. Several petitions proposed changes in the structure and membership of a number of the General Church agencies.
The compromise petition that came before the body and was eventually approved is one that included good parts of all of the proposals that came before the General Conference. We need to find new ways to be the church in order to, number one, be a global church, and number two, be relevant to the communities and context in which we're serving.
The subjects considered by the delegates ranged from setting the general church budgets to standards and guidelines for ordained ministry. Delegates sought to let God's love rule in their hearts so that all deliberations were carried out as holy conferencing, open to the Spirit's leading in an attitude of mutual respect.
And all God's people said, Amen.
Several of the members of the delegation have very much struggled with decisions that the General Conference has made around homosexuality. And so we have held one another in prayer and been very open about sharing our concerns with each other. We still are struggling with what it means to be the Church of Jesus Christ that draws its circles of love wide.
Also before the delegates were issues of Pan-American Communion, social principles, a change in language that removes the guarantee of appointment for clergy, the establishment of a separate board for United Methodist women, and they voted not to provide for a set-aside bishop. The focus of the General Conference centered around promoting increase in vital congregations, and a significant impact on General Conference was the increased numbers and participation of delegates from the Central Conferences. Sharing reflection and legislative action, the delegates came together as representatives of a global church dedicated to a common mission, to make disciples of Jesus Christ to transform the world.
First of all, I'd like to say that it was a privilege to serve alongside all of the other members of the Iowa delegation, including our jurisdictional delegates, our fantastic alternates and reserves, several translators from Iowa, volunteer pages, and our own conference artist, Ted Liddon-Hatton, as well as the Director of Communications, Arthur McClanahan. In addition, we were all proud to serve alongside our bishop and his wife, Ray Selder. Both provided leadership to the denomination and to the delegation. We as a delegation were also served very ably in our preparations for General Conference by Conference Secretary Patty Legree, who volunteered as the secretary to the delegation. I'd like to invite all of those folks to stand and anyone else who attended General Conference so that we might thank you for your service. Phil Carver co-chaired the delegation, and I invite him to share some of his reflections.
I'm Phil Carver. I was privileged to serve as a lay member of the Iowa delegation at the General Conference. Each day, we participated in inspirational worship, talked with other United Methodist leaders who share our passion for Christ, and celebrated United Methodist ministries that are changing people's lives all over the world. I'm tempted to reflect on the long days, the difficult debates, and the disappointments of our 2 weeks in Tampa. But amid the controversies, I'm stunned to remember that the vast majority of the decisions that we made were supported by a large majority of the delegates. Perhaps our expectations were too high, and our desire for change was too strong. My legislative section, for example, dealt with the structural changes being proposed for the General Church. I often heard comments like, we can't return to our annual conferences without doing something. And yet, the outcome of some of the most contentious issues that we addressed, we in fact did nothing. So what can we affirm amid the divisions in the church that have often reflected the political debate of our national presidential election? I submit these. Together, we are committed to improving the vitality of our congregations. And we know there are four factors that influence that vitality. First, strong and dynamic clergy leadership. Second, committed and equipped lay leadership. Third, worship that engages all of the senses. And fourth, a variety of small group ministries that nurture spiritual growth and personal involvement in mission and ministry. Also, together, we are committed to four areas of focus in the United Methodist communities around the world. We are striving to reach new people in new places as we nurture one another to be disciples of Jesus. We are investing in developing new and younger leaders to help us respond to our changing world for the sake of Christ. We are continuing the legacy of John Wesley in ministries with the poor, to learn from them as much as to share our resources with them. And we are making strides to improve global health, both locally and globally, in initiatives like No More Malaria. Our divisions have been with us for many years, and the challenges of our changing culture sometimes seem too large to overcome. But we have each other here in Iowa, and partners from many places all around the world to support us as we seek to embody the love and grace of God by offering justice, peace, and freedom to a hurting world. As Paul wrote in Philippians 4:13, we can indeed do all things in Christ who strengthens us.
In addition to what has already been shared, I want to briefly report on a few decisions that were made by General Conference. First of all, what has been referred to as the removal of guaranteed appointments for clergy is awaiting Judicial Council decision on its constitutionality. Barry Tridle helpfully characterizes this legislation as a culture shift from ordained ministry as a job, where clergy who basically do no harm are cared for throughout their career, to ministry as a missional vocation, where the emphasis is upon supporting clergy who engage in the mission of developing world-changing disciples. Clarification on definitions of effectiveness, reporting of clergy serving less than full-time, and careful monitoring of processes was also part of the legislation approved at General Conference. Number two, the clergy pension plan was changed effective January 1st, 2014. This will mean that pension costs to annual conferences will be reduced by approximately 15%, and clergy will need to increase their personal pension contributions in order to maintain their current level of benefit. Number three, $5 million was designated to support theological education in the central conferences, those conferences outside the United States. Another $7 million was designated to establish the Young Clergy Initiative Fund to help young people in the United States respond to a call to ordain ministry. These funds come from previously budgeted monies. A four-year budget of $603 million was approved, representing a 6.03% decrease from the budget approved for the previous 4 years. Number four, lay speaking ministry was renamed lay servant ministry to recognize the diversity of ministries to which laity are called and can be certified. Number five, clergy who are unable to attend annual conference because of age or disability will no longer be equalized by a lay member. If the Judicial Council upholds this change, the attendance at our annual conference will likely be reduced by approximately 250 persons. Number six, regarding the matter of human sexuality, General Conference debated proposed changes to the social principles, paragraph 161F. By considering substitute language about homosexuality, which was offered by Adam Hamilton and Mike Slaughter, pastors of large United Methodist churches. This was an attempt to name both sides of the issue and recognize the fact that we are deeply divided in our opinions on this matter. The substitute language was defeated by 54%. The rest of the legislation dealing with human sexuality was placed at the end of the agenda, so it did not get considered before the General Conference was adjourned. Let me be clear. Nothing in the Book of Discipline related to human sexuality has been changed. It was obvious to all of us in the delegation that there was much pain in the room following that decision. And yes, our church is divided over this issue. I believe we must continue to seek ways to engage in conversation in a spirit of love and mutual respect. Number seven, we approved a covenant clarifying what it means to be a global church and made the first step toward recognizing that the Book of Discipline has some parts that are global in perspective and many other parts that are applicable only to specific regions. Although this legislation has not received much coverage, I feel that we are laying an important foundation for our journey of truly becoming a global church. We identify the first four parts of the Book of Discipline as having global application and ask the committee to explore the other parts of the Book of Discipline for future inclusion. We also adopted a companion litany to our covenant for the worldwide United Methodist Church. I'd like to invite you to join me in this litany today because, indeed, even though it's the General Conference that adopted this litany, we are experiencing the struggles of what it means to be a global church here in Iowa, in many of our communities across our conference. Will you join me in this liturgical prayer? In covenant with God and each other, we affirm our unity in Christ. In covenant with God and each other, we commit ourselves to be in ministry with all people. In covenant with God and each other, we participate in God's mission as partners in ministry. In covenant with God and each other, we commit ourselves to full equality. In covenant with God and each other, we enter afresh into a relationship of mutuality. As a delegation, we experienced the tremendous support of the General Conference when Iowa delegate Jessica Ireland was hit by a car while crossing the street. We are thankful that Jessica is continuing to recover. We also were warmly greeted by the Nigerian delegation and had a time of conversation and prayer together. We participated in a very moving worship of repentance as we confessed the sins of the United Methodist Church in our treatment of indigenous peoples, particularly in the United States. Social media played a very important and little understood role in the General Conference through texting, Facebook, Twitter, and live stream. Raise your hand if you participated in General Conference through one or more of these means. You may want to check out the new Facebook pages or Twitter conversations at the addresses that are printed on the screen. As Phil mentioned, there is a great deal of agreement around the challenge of fostering and sustaining an increase in the number of vital congregations effective in making disciples for the transformation of the world. These conversations will continue. Our own focus on new places for new people fits into this challenge. You may want to check out the new resource website for vital congregations found at www.umvitalcongregations.org. The Iowa delegation, our bishop, and other participants provided important leadership in the General Church in many ways during General Conference. I believe our challenge as the Iowa Annual Conference in light of General Conference 2012 is to be the church for God's mission in the world today. We must continue to strive to be the birthing and nurturing center for new disciples. Yes, new disciples will be diverse because God's good creation is diverse, and I am convinced we will be the richer for our diversity. However, the global nature of our denomination does add to the complication of effective communication and decision making. At General Conference, we are far better at monologue than we are at dialogue. One of the reasons is at General Conference, we only meet every 4 years, and it's rarely the same people gathering over and over again. It's very hard to build long-lasting relationships in that context. Some conversations are nearly impossible. Whether we are disappointed in something that happened or didn't happen at General Conference, or frustrated with the lack of meaningful change in the system, no decisions have affected our shared mission. We as United Methodists believe we are called to make disciples for the transformation of the world. Clergy and laity, if you are concerned that the rules get in the way of you making disciples with integrity, err on the side of inviting more people into a deeper relationship with God. If you feel like you're being held back in some way by a theological perspective of the General Church or annual conference environment, prove your point by producing fruit, that is, disciples that transform lives and communities. After all, as our Book of Discipline says, local churches provide the most significant arena through which disciple making occurs. And ministry happens at the local church or nowhere at all. Our challenge is before us to focus all our efforts on creating and sustaining vital communities of faith. May God grant us wisdom and courage as we continue on the journey, and may God strengthen the witness of the United Methodist Church for the sake of Jesus Christ around the world. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian and Phil.